This is a congregation that places the scriptures in front of it as you gather for worship. Tell me why you do that. Why is this book up there front and centre? It wasn't a rhetorical question, you know. I'm expecting an answer. I mean, it's your this is your worship space. Why is the Bible up there front and centre? It is a primary witness to our faith of how God deals with God's people. Yes. Thank you. That's a good answer. But I'm thinking of giving up the Bible. Did you hear those readings that we read this morning? The prophet Isaiah talks about
Israel as God's vineyard. Jesus talks about that he came not to bring peace but a sword. That he came to bring division, not peace. So, how did they sound to you? Is that the kind of thing you got out of bed this morning to come and hear? Take the reading from Isaiah, for example. It purports to be a love story. Now, who doesn't love a love story? But he says, let me sing a song for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. But the story very quickly moves not into love, but into conflict and trouble. It turns out that the Lord, that Yahweh's vineyard is not producing. So what does Yahweh promise to do to this useless vineyard? Destroy it. Knock it down. Tear down the walls. Everything that protects it. No looking after it any longer. It'll grow wild. Liars and blackberries will take over and Yahweh will send no rain. The people of God as a failure of a vineyard. I'm sure you'd like to hear a proclamation about that. But then if we look to the New Testament, the epistle to the Hebrews, which we didn't read this morning, but the text from the letter tells about our ancestors and gives a veritable catalogue of the ways in which people standing up for their faith have been persecuted, tortured. Maybe we could have a proclamation about modern martyrs today. Because there's no shortage of them, you know. People all over the world standing up for their faith, being persecuted. People in the Philippines gunned down by militias because they are working for social justice in their country. Oh, that would be edifying. But in Manningham, if we turn to the gospel reading and the good news of Jesus. Now, could you believe what you heard right here this morning? I mean, did you hear it? Or did it sort of go over your head somewhere? Let me remind you what Jesus said. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish that were already kindled. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two, two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Now, that's from the Bible. And Jesus said it. What kind of saviour brings division instead of peace? Whose message would ultimately divide family members? What kind of messenger from God would bring fire to the earth and the human community? If these are texts to nurture the Christian community today, why bother? What kind of message are we contemplating as we hear these readings? Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to answer that question. You don't have to put up your hand. So, if I give up the Bible, if we give up the Bible, what do we look to instead? Well, we could tell our own stories, for a start. There's no shortage of stories to choose from, I'm sure, amongst the people in this congregation. Stories that would give a positive message each week. Or, I could tell you some warm-hearted, funny stories that would send you on your way feeling good. And there are plenty of other books giving advice about how to live happier, more productive and successful lives that we could refer to. I'm sure you've got recommendations. Why don't we ignore the Bible and just do that instead of having to deal with these kinds of texts? Now, the reason why I can't do that is because I am a Christian preacher. And the message that I will seek to bring to you in these next few weeks is not Rod's reflections on this week, or helpful thoughts about religion, or even my opinion about some pressing social issue. What I will seek to do in our time together is to bring you the good news of God's work, to which the Scriptures are the primary witness. My duty, first to God and to you, is to listen to a word that comes from beyond me, but strangely expresses itself through human words in the Christian community. What I try to articulate is not something, some soothing words of religious sentiment, but difficult and realistic words about God and God's work. So what is my fruit? What is the fruit of my listening this week? So that we might perhaps hear a word from God. Let's begin with the gospel reading. The first thing that we need to remember is that when we read the gospels, we see that wherever Jesus turns up, he creates a crisis. That is, a moment of decision. When he came into a situation, people had to respond to his disturbing presence. When Jesus asks in this text if they think he has come to bring peace, he is asking, do you think that I have come to protect the status quo? The answer is no. So the first thing that we must hear, if we are going to hear a word from God through these texts today, is that we must hear a word of judgment. A judgment against us. Now, ain't that divisive? Jesus has already created a crisis because we have to hear things that we would rather forget. We must never forget, as Christians, that we have used these words of Jesus about creating division to unleash horror in the name of Christ. That is our history. Christians have been agents of division and persecution for centuries. We must never forget, as Christians, the medieval crusades, that brutal attempt over centuries to wrest the Holy Land from Muslims, during which supposedly Christian warriors, wielding the shield with the cross on it and the sword with the cross at the top of its blade, in horrible ways, slaughtering soldiers and civilians alike, raping, pillaging, and destroying in the name of Christ. This hatred and persecution of Jews has continued for centuries, reaching its lowest point in the Holocaust in the 20th century. We must never forget, as Christians, the European wars fought over centuries, including two world wars. Christian nation against Christian nation in the name of Christ. And in living memory, our living memory, we must remember that the church blessed battleships. The church sent with prayers soldiers off to slaughter other soldiers, using Jesus' words as an excuse to hate and kill their fellow human beings. Is that what Jesus had in mind? I don't think so. So the first word to us is we can never, as Christians, use these words of Jesus as an excuse to justify war, nationalism, racial prejudice, discrimination, or privilege dressed up as freedom of expression, or any other power that the powerful seek to hold over others. We cannot be party to that in the name of Jesus. In our time, to follow Jesus means to go against the flow. We are finding even more ways in which we have to stand against Western culture in order to maintain what we believe is the will of God known in Jesus for the whole human community, for the whole created order. Hearing Jesus' words means that Christians will cause division, but only when they stand for the refugee, the asylum seeker, and those whom our society would rather forget or cast aside. If Jesus creates division, it must only be the division caused by Jesus' disciples standing against entrenched power and oppression, injustice, prejudice, whatever prevents the fulfillment and flourishing of people and creation. The other difficult thing in Jesus' words is that we have to recognize that the call of Jesus threatens all of the other powers in the world that seek to lay their claims on us. This is really difficult, really divisive, because Jesus says that the call to model in our living his way of life will create division. Because we have to give priority above personal relationships, above family, that great God. Family, personal relationships, culture, wealth, leisure, and whatever else we are tempted to put first before we respond to Jesus' call to be human in the way which he models. That is why Jesus appears to have deliberately encouraged some people to leave behind their allegiance to their local communities, their clan, their family. Those people travelled with him as a kind of entourage of protest against the prevailing systems of their society. But he also encouraged other people, indeed sent them back to their homes to be witnesses there where they were. For Jesus, the division comes when he puts his claim upon us to be, first of all, the people of God. To be first of all a human being as God created us to be. Everything else falls into perspective when we make that decisive choice. Now that is not a guarantee of peace and harmony, but an involvement in change that will have its own rewards. But Jesus warns, it will encounter resistance and rejection from the power brokers of the world. So that's the big picture. Let's bring it down here now to Manningham, to us, gathered here this morning. Because what Jesus invites us to be is the local expression of God's will for the whole creation. To be a people shaped by God's purposes. To be an expression of this divisive collected of Jesus' people in our willingness to stand against all that would thwart the will of God. And God chooses to do that through human beings, ordinary people like us. Here, in this community, as in every Christian community, what God desires for the human family is to be modelled here, in the way we treat one another in our everyday encounters, in the way we exercise our vocations. That is the mission of the church. And it's hard. Too hard? Could it even be dangerous? Some commentators are saying the time is coming when Christians will find it dangerous to take their stand for love and justice. Without that commitment, we are only playing at Christian faith. Without the response to be disciples, we are only being religious. So that is the word for us today, perhaps. Are we willing to be shaped by God as witnesses to God's truth, individually and as a community of faith? And we will have to make judgments and choices about that. It may mean we take up a new vocation. It may mean a new determination to live our ordinary lives as disciples where we are. I believe that the life of worship, or the act of worship, is central to enabling us to be that. Your witness in the ordinary tasks of work and home is important because they are an expression of God's purpose for the whole world. We are a sign to the world of another way. This is, for me, beautifully expressed by an Australian poet, Peter Kokan, who, though he makes no claim to Christian faith, I think beautifully expresses the life of discipleship in his poem, The Little Garrisons. Here is a dull suburban avenue, a row of houses of the middling sort. This is where the vast collapse has come to. This is where the war is being fought. Here are people doing what they can, as friend and neighbour, parent, husband, wife, continuing against the odds to man the little garrisons of normal life. Along the street's perimeter, they link the small acts of meaning and of beauty in rooms, in gardens, at the kitchen sink. They stand to their customary duty. History will bring their story home, will liken them to the heroic ranks who held the last of Athens and of Rome and fought without encouragement or thanks. But now, the quiet valour of the day is just to win another night ahead, to get the dishes washed and put away, and tuck the anxious children into bed. So at the end of the day, I can't give up the Bible. It gives my human life meaning by calling me to the great task of telling the world about what God has done and is doing through the Christian community, through the life of Jesus. It enlists my life in the fight against whatever would deny God's gracious purpose for the world and all its peoples, all its creatures. It sets me in the great company of believers and enables me to do what I can with hope. So I guess I'll open up the Bible again tomorrow and read the text and listen for a word from God, that I might share it with you, that we all might go out then and demonstrate it through our human living. So I hope you'll be back again next week when we do the same thing. Listen for the word of the Lord with the people of God in this place. Amen.